Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Hi, gang. Now, if you'll all be quiet, we'll start the show.
TMOS Classic. Friday Flashback.
We were talking earlier this week on the show, we were talking about nostalgia.
Yes.
And I know you have been chomping to get to the bonus show because you wanted to talk about your Ringo experience where
yes.
you saw Ringo Starr perform. And you were telling me also that it was not just the Ringo show. I'm not the Beatles guy. You are.
He's in my top four of all the Beatles.
You like Ringo Starr, and you know, it's nostalgic. I will say this. I saw Ringo on TV recently, and he looks remarkably well-preserved.
78.
Did he look that way?
He's 78.
He's almost 80 years old, and he still has that kind of, I'm Ringo, there you go. Did he look good at the concert?
He looked fantastic. We went to a place here in D.C. called Wolf Trap, and every city has a place like this where it's an open pavilion on a hill, so you can buy lawn seats or pavilion seats, right? And a lot of people do like a picnic-type deal. We lucked out. We got two tickets, last row of the pavilion, which doesn't sound great, except it was, because they weren't the built-in seats. They were folding chairs. So we had miles of legroom and an aisle seat. So the seats were perfect. Ringo comes out. He looks fantastic. He's energetic.
And I give a man who has dyed his hair for that long an amazing amount of credit. Does he still have the jet black hair?
He does. And, you know, even Paul has even begged off on that. Paul went from red to light gray. Now Paul is sort of grayish. But Ringo still looks like Harry Blackstone, yeah.
It's funny. But I mean, I looked at him and, holy shit, the dude's almost 80 years old. He looked fantastic.
And energetic and fantastic, yeah.
And you talked about the way he puts his show together, which is brilliant. I think it's a really cool thing. So tell us about
your experience. I went into it not knowing what to expect. He's been doing it for 30 years, maybe. Does that sound right? The All-Star Band. And I've just never got a chance where it worked out that I went. And I've seen Paul a lot of times. And the first thing I notice when I get to the place is there's a different atmosphere. It's more relaxed. When you go to a Paul McCartney show, there's almost a tension in the air because, you know, oh my God, people say, this is our Mozart. This is Paul McCartney. He can do no wrong. It's money. It's Paul McCartney. But everyone at Ringo's is just like, hey, you know what? We're going to have a show tonight, and it's cool. And it's very relaxed. He comes out, and he surrounds himself. Everyone on stage with him has had hit records. And it's a tight band. Of course, there's Ringo. He drums. He sings. Also on stage with him is, we talked about him on the regular show today. His name is Greg Raleigh. He was one of the founding members of Santana. And when you hear the early Santana music, he's the keyboardist and the singer. So he's on stage. This is a guy that was on stage at Woodstock, and now he's playing with Ringo Starr today.
And you hear, you know, Santana. That's a credential right
there.
Yeah,
of course. I mean, and he also, I didn't know this, he went on to form Journey. He was Journey's first lead singer. So he's had an amazing career. Then on stage with him, one of the most amazing guitarists of our time, Steve Lukather from Toto. And I would never go see Toto in concert. But
do they sell the All-Star bit going into the show?
Absolutely.
Or did you just discover? Oh, so he goes, because remember when we saw down in New Orleans, the Northwest Airlines All-Star Band, and they had a bunch of different people that were, I love the concept. The concept is incredible because these are virtuosic.
All of these people could carry a show on their own. They could all carry a show on their own. Mike, I thought of you. I know we both love the Average White Band, and we have one of the horn players, Freddie V, who calls the show sometimes, but the first lead guitarist of the Average White Band is named Hamish Stewart. He's up there. And so he sings and plays lead guitar. This was cool for me because I loved them when I was in sixth grade, Men at Work. Colin Hay, the lead singer of Men at Work, is
Who
up there
can
playing.
It be
exactly.
Now?
And then the other thing that was so cool is that they've got a drummer up there named Greg Bissonette. He was David Lee Roth's drummer, and he's played session work for everybody because Ringo doesn't drum on every record. So he's up there, and he's like a band leader. It was hit after hit after hit. I just want to run down the playlist of all the music we heard, and your head will spin because you never got a chance to get bored. It was so cool.
Right.
They open up and they play the Beatles song Matchbox. So, you know, the band comes out and there's a small rhythm of applause. And then, ladies and gentlemen, Ringo Starr. And Ringo comes out and sings Matchbox.
I said, I'm sitting here wondering, Matchbox holding
Now, is that a deep cut for the Beatles?
That is. But it's, you see, Ringo didn't sing a lot for the Beatles, so there's not many to go to.
But he sang on this one on a Beatles?
Yeah, this is his. This is one of his signature songs.
But if you're a Beatles, if you get a boner when the Beatles are on...
Oh, you scream. You scream because...
This is a song you know completely.
And what was so cool about it is that it is a little obscure. You wouldn't think about it. This is the kind of song that when we were on the way to the show, I said to my mom, I'm sure he's going to sing Matchbox, and we laughed. Ha, ha, ha. No one knows Matchbox, and it's his opening song. So that
That's
was
cool.
Awesome. Yeah.
So you got excited.
Yeah.
About that.
Right away I realized the band is on point. I mean,
and the sound is great.
Fantastic.
And everything.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Okay.
And then they go in and he does one of his solo records, which I'm sure you'll recognize. He had a really good post Beatles career, especially
it don't come easy.
Yeah, like the 5 or 6 years after the Beatles broke, this is a big number one hit for him. And so, and now I'm realizing, because this is not a 3-chord Carl Perkins record, this band has got it going on. Because all these people, they're not only playing their instruments, they're singing backup. They've got the rhythm right.
They got a big bunch of backup singers, too?
No, that's the thing. It's a lean band.
The guys
band.
All sang?
They all sing. Yeah. It's like seeing a really tight bar band, except they've sold 400 million records between them. It's
that's
so
cool.
Neat. Yeah.
I like that. And you know it don't come easy.
And then he goes into another, sort of a Beatles deep cut. I think this is from Rubber Soul, but it's a country-flavored record.
What goes on in your heart?
So at this point...
I wouldn't know this one. I would not. This one I would not know.
But at this point, I could say, you know what? I could go home now. I saw a Beatles sing 3 songs. This is great. But little do I know what's about to happen. Because then he introduces this guy, Greg Raleigh, who was with Santana. And he's in front of a vintage keyboard. And just imagine, like, you know, we're already thinking about Woodstock, and we're surrounded by all these people. Great crowd.
Is it a Hammond B3 with a Leslie cabinet?
Likely. I couldn't see because I was not. But
I'll tell you when I hear it.
But
I'll know.
Then this starts to fill the sound of the air of the night. Tell me this isn't great.
You got a dinner band. And then by the way, my band, the Crap Blues Band, played this.
Really?
We played this. Yep.
And he
I remember playing one of my when I was absolutely in the middle of the band experience that I had, and I was playing this. This was one of the most fun jam records that we played. And by the way, it is a great jam record.
What makes a great jam record?
You just start going nuts.
I love music, but I've never been in a band. What makes What makes a great jam record? Is it the loose construction of it, or
loose construction and the fact that you get. When you get to the hey, and then everybody just goes off the aircraft carrier, and you start having a great time. But that's cool. And he, I'm sure he knew what he was doing.
Oh, my God. And the thing is that he, I would think after 50 years, and probably a pretty rough 50 years, he still sounds the same. I mean, his voice is recognizable, which was
really
cool.
How did he look?
Older.
Like, are all these guys probably north of 70?
He would almost have to be because he played at Woodstock.
Well, the Toto guy doesn't necessarily have to be, right?
I would say he's probably close to 70, though.
Close to 70?
Yeah. But, okay. I mean, if you were on stage at Woodstock, and that's 50 years ago, you got to be over 70. So then he throws it over to... Yeah, so, I mean...
Yeah, that's a Hammond B3.
So great.
With a Leslie cap.
I mean, it's the kind of... There were so many moments at this concert... Where you can feel the hair on your arm stand up because you're hearing something.
Yeah, I would hear this and go, I didn't expect it. That'd be awesome. I'd be, I get what you're saying. I'm with you. I'm with you on this.
And
keep
then
going.
There's another, and then he throws it over to Steve Lukather. And I mean, again, if I can go
and
to
they
a concert,
do this one?
Yes. If I could just have 3 Toto records, I'm good. That's all I need. I don't need any filler. Just play the hits, man. And it sounded just like this.
And that would be, so you're. You're playing this because you have told me this is like one of the best concerts you've ever seen.
It was probably the most fun I've ever had at a concert. And this is going to make me seem like a weirdo, but when you go see Paul McCartney, there's like pressure because it's such a big deal.
Now you keep talking about that as far as the it's more fun. Do you get the vibe when you go to a McCartney concert that everybody's there to kind of like see the Eiffel Tower?
Where I do a little bit. And you know what? And
they're doing that because it's a moment, Paul's playing or something.
Invariably, when you leave the Paul concert, you had a great time, and it's a very special thing. But I'll tell a story. You know my buddy Pat House. I know you're good friends with him.
Yeah, how's Pat doing?
He's doing good. He's just recently married. Congratulations, Pat. But one time, we were going to a Paul concert together, and we were on the way, and he got real quiet. I said, what's the matter? He says, I'm sad. I said, why? He said, in 4 hours, it's going to be over. I said, it hasn't started yet. And that's the kind of pressure that, you know, a mega fan you get.
Yeah, the McCartney thing, yeah, you lose me with a little bit with that. But I get this when you're hearing songs that you wouldn't expect to have.
Exactly. Cool. And I didn't know. I purposely didn't read
the
setlist.
Did you know that it was going to be the guy from Toto and the guy from Santana?
No. I knew that he surrounded himself.
So you didn't know that until you walked into the concert.
And I also didn't know that they were all going to play their hits.
Right.
I knew that he was surrounded by famous musicians, but I thought we were going to, you know, go through it.
So how was the live version of Rosanna?
It was, sounded
like
this.
Did it sound
like
Rosanna?
Yes.
Okay.
And his guitar work is amazing. And then I'm still not knowing who everyone is, and they introduce Hamish and Mike. This guitar riff is every bit as important as the sax.
Yeah,
and when they go into this, your neck, just the hair on your neck stands up now because of...
These are such tight quality records that they are doing on stage. And did they have a horn player?
They have a guy up there. He's played with Donna Summer, Olivia Newton-John. He actually was a founding member of Blood Rock back in the day. His name is Warren Ham. But they only had one sax, but I think they doubled it. They have an electronic doubler on the processing.
Right.
So it
right.
sounded just like the record.
And
this is when the moment when I looked up and I said, this is almost surreal because this is a song I've loved my entire life.
Right.
I'm seeing it played before my very eyes. And Ringo is drumming on it, which is weird because it's not Ringo's band. You know?
And
it, and
all right.
It's so, so cool. Now.
I get it.
They go to the next guy, and he's playing lead guitar over there. And one of my favorite songs, I remember when I bought the album in sixth grade. And this guy that was just a minute ago playing saxophone picks up a flute, plays the flute lead, and Colin Hay sings this record.
Sounded like the record.
Exactly. His voice is exactly the same.
TMOS Classic.
Are you getting a vibe when you're at this concert that people are experiencing it like you are, that they're saying, this is really pretty spectacular stuff?
Yeah, you're getting
screamers. You're getting your money's worth, right?
Oh, my God, yeah, and they weren't. And believe me, we didn't pay McCartney prices, Paul.
Okay, yeah, Paul's expensive.
Yeah,
right? And Paul would bore the hell out of me.
And, you know, you're right. Paul would bore you. And that's why I think this is a concert better suited to you.
By the way, here's why I'm letting you do this.
Okay.
I'm not letting you. You can do whatever you want.
Right.
But the reason I'm into it, too, what you're doing here is describing a concert that more concerts ought to be.
You're right. You're exactly right.
Because I'm not somebody who will sit there and I know I'm alone on this. Maybe I'm not with a lot of people. But I'm not one that can get into listening to one album all afternoon. I'd rather hear
bounce around
the iPod. And this is for the iPod generation that you're playing hit. And to do this and to surprise people, I think it's a pretty cool... I'm giving the hats off to Ringo. I think that's a pretty cool thing.
It's
who
such
else?
A brilliant
who
idea.
Else? Bring it.
And then he does a couple Beatles songs for us. This is one that they did, I believe, on the Ed Sullivan Show. This was his show number when the Beatles first got together. So for a fan, this was big.
I've been told when a boy kisses a girl.
And he's also drumming and singing, which is really cool to watch because you realize he's been doing this for 60 years. You know, he just get behind a kit and do it. Awesome. And then he gets up from his kit and he walks over to a piano and plays horribly and sings the first part of this from the White Album. But I mean, he sucks on piano and he's having so much fun with it that he sits down and he plays this horrible lead like this. It's just, you know, bum, 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 bum. And he sings the first part.
That's why Ringo needs to have these people around him.
Exactly.
Because you can't. Has Ringo done concerts like this for a long time?
Yeah, about 30
he's
years.
He surrounded himself with the other people.
Yeah.
All right.
He did it in 1964.
Yeah, the talented people.
But
the talented
then
people around
he
him.
Sings the first verse, and then the entire band kicks in, and it's fantastic. Because, you know, again, big guitars and just big sound and little voice, but very recognizable. Then we get to a moment that is another chilling moment because it's such a part of my childhood and my entire life when he says, I'm going to do any song you want. I'm going to do any song you want. And Steve Lukather starts to play the beginning of Day Tripper. And he says, I don't do that one.
So they do that as shtick.
Yeah, they do that as shtick. And then you, without even any sort of fanfare, he just goes into.
In the town where I was born.
And that
he was the lead voice on Yellow Submarine. And do they, people go out of their mind?
Out of their mind. And I mean, I tear up. Because right. it's you're seeing this happen right
well,
in front of you.
Let me, you know, let's talk about Yellow Submarine. That is a song, a nostalgic song, that I can understand that completely. Mm. I get it, because it's just such a...
Well, you grab onto it as a kid.
It's such a magical song for, like, there's a happiness in that song that, that really... Well, play the hook and you get
yeah,
it. I mean, I look back at this song. This makes me smile. Submarine. I always do the harmony. Yellow submarine. God, man.
And it was so cool because they had, you know, just so together, they've sampled all the sounds, the bubbles and the chains and everything. So it sounds like the record on stage. They're projecting bubbles on a screen behind him. And the best thing is when it gets to the call and response.
When's he coming to Florida? You're really starting to motivate me. I'm actually going to go to a concert. It could be special.
I would love that. And when they do the call and response at the end, when he goes, sky of blue and sea of
sky
green,
of blue.
You've got 20,000 people doing the call back to him in perfect harmony. It's just a beautiful moment. You know, he goes, sky of blue, sea
you
of
know,
green.
This is normally the part of the show where I would be mocking you for your enthusiasm, but you are describing it in such a way where I get it.
Yeah.
And as a person who is a passionate concert goer, I mean, this had to be special.
It was really cool.
I'm loving this show. You're doing a good job of recreating it. It's fantastic.
So then Ringo says, I'm going to take a small break, and I'm going to leave you with at least two magical moments. And he said, do you want magical moments? They said, yeah, let's do it. So he leaves the stage, and Hamish Stewart is the guy from the Average White Band gets up. And he says, this was, they did two nights at Wolf Trap. He says, it's so great to be here. It seems like I haven't been here since last night. And so he gets a good laugh, and then the band goes into, and the guitar is so dead on, clean and precise. And then,
and you had to have a horn player up there that.
Yep. Perfect.
That has to do multiple horns? Mm-hmm. Is that the way that goes?
And what's so important about the Average White Band is the way they pair the snare. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. The horns are paired with the drums so well that
right.
it gives it that extra punch. And to watch the eye contact from the sax player and the drummer, they are as one. And that's why
right.
the record sounds exactly right. And he sings yeah. the lead and sounds fantastic. And they said, now it's time for our second magical moment of the night. And this is another one where... It blows my mind because this guy was at Woodstock, and he's when the organ starts like this, and it's right now it's starting to get dark,
right?
And it just sort of fills the room, and Steve Lukather can play just like Steve Lukather can play like anybody. So
right.
what we've got here is the signature organ sound and the voice that's exactly right, and then the guitar sounds. It's like I dropped a needle on the 45. It's just so great.
Man, oh man, you're describing it. What else? What's next?
And then they go into Gypsy Queen. And they do the whole jam.
And a bunch of old guys up on stage looking like they're having the time of their lives, right?
All in very big flowy shirts. And it's about this time on Gypsy Queen when my mom looks at me and she says, they just turned it up, didn't they? I said, yeah, it's getting louder. So they turned it up. It's just great. Then, so they do that, and they do the whole jam. And it's not, sometimes when the band is up on stage and they do a jam like that, it feels very self-indulgent. And this
right.
didn't. This was just great,
just
great music. Yeah, exactly.
They know what they're doing.
And then Ringo comes out, and I'm not sure this song was ever appropriate, but it was a big hit. It's a good sing-along record, and he's having a blast with it. Come
on like a dream. I love this song.
Yeah.
You're 16, you're beautiful in your mind.
Exactly.
And, Woody Allen tribute.
So, I mean, another great hit record, and they're all doing the backup, and it sounds just like the song. And then,
but I mean, you got to remember a different era, you know.
Yes, of course.
You know, it's like, God, I hate that we're even having that discussion.
I know.
Now.
Maybe the singer was 16.
Maybe he was talking about young love.
Could
you
be.
Know what I mean?
First love.
First love? Oh, shut up. Men at Work again.
Yes.
They play Men at Work,
and
right?
this, he varied
and
from
the... And that's the guy that's singing?
Yeah, and the lead guitarist, Colin Hay.
Okay. All right, so he's the guy that had that cool
yeah.
kind of sound that nobody else had, right?
And also, he is a really... I'll give him this. He's a great singer. He messes with meter and lyrics because he's having fun with it. But
right.
it's okay because it's his voice, right? It's so
yep,
cool.
Yep, absolutely.
So that was fun. And now, you know, Ringo's back up on the kit. fun to watch. Just fun to watch Ringo drum. I mean, maybe that's me, but it's very cool because he still has the same sort of, you know, style that he's always
Ringo
had.
Ringo drumming looks like Ringo doesn't care about drumming.
That's, well, I don't think Ringo has cared about a lot of things for a long time.
Ringo's but he's got always that looked, way about
he really he is. I could show you videos of where he explains it. He is a left-handed drummer that plays right-handed, I believe.
Yeah. Yep,
and so he's
exactly
got a weird style. Now, this made me laugh.
Like, he will go, like, with his left hand on the hi-hat. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
He will do that.
It's,
yeah,
he's totally,
yeah, okay.
His method,
yeah,
is totally wrong.
Yeah, very, very interesting.
You would love this joke because now the guy from Toto stepped up to the mic. He says, I know that everybody has known one or two songs that we've played here tonight. And he gets a big laugh. And he says, but we're going to play something new. You've never heard this song before. I hope you like it. And you hear a genuine in the audience because, you know, everyone always tries to put something from the new album on. He says, I hope right. you like it, but you've never heard it before. Brand new song. And the drum starts and they play Africa by Toto. And everyone's, yay! Which is
That's
so
fun.
Great. Which is so great for him because this was it. They did a cover of this last year. Weezer did a cover of this, which was basically like a cover band that was so right. accurate, but it had it back on the charts again. And again, this is one of those songs that it has almost a sonic flavor to it. And when it filled the pavilion, it just sounded so good.
I hear the drums echoing tonight.
You're enjoying yourself, aren't you?
I am. I'm having a great time.
And you get to go on vacation after this. That's cool.
And so I'm thinking now, they've got there can't be anything left in their arsenal. Where can they go from this? Well, into the end.
Come over.
Uh-huh.
Didn't they play this at Woodstock, too?
I believe they did.
Yep. Absolutely.
And so, again, trying to wrap my head around the fact that I'm seeing something that was played at Woodstock.
Did you have any expectations that you were going to see a show like this?
No.
Where it was going to be these. Then I don't want to say they're none of them are obscure hits.
No.
A couple of like the Ringo thing. But this is like just great stuff that everybody. I mean, these are wonderful, wonderful songs they're playing.
I was there to hear Ringo sing one song. I didn't even know if he'd drum. I say, if he drums, that's great. That's a bonus. But at this point, I'm out of my mind. He then, Ringo drums. There's another one that Ringo does while he drums and sings, which is, this was from their first album, I believe. And so, you know, it's for me, exciting. It wouldn't mean so much to you, but I liked it. But then, you'd be right back in it, Mike, because they go with.
Who can it be? Now.
And that slot player has picked up the sax and again is nailing the saxophone. And the drummer is on point. But again, what sells this is the lead vocal because he still sounds like this.
Who can it be knocking at my door?
Such a unique vocal. Really, such a sound. That
you weren't. This is 83 or 84, I think, when it broke. You weren't on the radio yet, were you?
I was not on the radio at WABA, but I think I played this.
Yeah.
Well, I certainly
82.
Played it.
82.
You know, 82.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting from the research department.
Yeah, that's right. God, it's amazing it's that long ago. Mm-hmm. Really, really special.
And again, I think they've got to be out of tricks, but then they play the third Toto record that completes our Toto triumvirate.
So there seems to be a theme here of three songs
per
from
artist.
Every mm-hmm. person. That makes for a hell of a concert.
I would think that the audition process is you go and you sit down with Ringo and he says, so have you had three hits? You're in.
You're in. Come on into the band. You get to play your three hits.
And, and then the moment that I was waiting for, and I, as you know, I had a very emotional day because I had dropped Julia off at school. And my favorite song of all the Beatles solo stuff happens, and it was absolutely worth it.
Photograph.
Yeah, such a great song.
Not a Beatles song, a Ringo song. Ringo's
and,
first big hit, right?
Yes, and I believe it was the first big hit by any solo Beatle. I'd have to check.
I have a trivia question about this particular song.
Every time I see
Why is this song special to me?
I don't know. Why?
With this song was on my original Connecticut School of Broadcasting.
Was it really?
Audition tape.
Really?
Space Race by Billy Preston, Photograph by Ringo Starr, Rock On by David Essex, The Way We Were by Barbara Streisand. These were, I had to have a variety of songs. Free Ride by the Edgar Winter
You
Group.
Really did? Well, that was top 40 then, though, too.
I don't remember what, you know, where the last gas station I put gas in my car is located, but I can tell you from my 1975 audition tape, this was a, these songs are all 75 or earlier.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, pretty much.
Photograph was just such a wonderful talk-up song that I remember it well. That's amazing. So they're winding down now.
Yeah, at this point, I really do have a tear rolling down my face. Mm-hmm. This is a special song because this is the song that Ringo sang at George Harrison's tribute concert. They did 1 year after George Harrison died. And it's so sweet because he gets up there and he says, this song is about a lost love, but now the meaning is so much more. And so I always associate it with George Harrison's passing. But they again... Right. You know, you got seven musicians up there, and they sound like an orchestra.
You know how many people? Somebody ought to send this to Ringo, because, I mean, this is the greatest concert promotion I have ever heard. They're probably already back in their old man houses now, but this is pretty special stuff. This sounds like a great show, special show.
And then Ringo does two closers. We're winding up. This is his Buck Owens cover, and probably his most famous Beatles vocal.
They're gonna put me in the mood.
After Yellow Submarine, but this is a fun one. This is on the Help soundtrack originally, not from the movie.
Buck Owens.
Yeah.
We'll make a film about a man that's...
And then the moment we've all been waiting for, he steps up to the microphone and he does not disappoint.
I think I know what's coming.
Oh, I gotta say that what they did was very cool is they actually did start with the band singing Billy Shears like they do on the Sgt. Pepper album.
What would you think if I sang out of tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me?
And as I'm looking, I can see the entire house under the pavilion because I'm in the back row. They are swaying like Muppets. They're in such perfect synchronization. Everyone is
having
the best
time. You're going to make me cry, Rob. This is the best description of a concert I have ever heard in my natural life.
You're very sweet.
This is so cool. This is really, really, that's got to be, man, and what was the total time frame on the concert?
I'd say about maybe just under 2 hours, no intermission.
Wow.
Perfect.
Tight, bright, out of sight.
Not a down moment the entire show.
Wow, and, Ringo. Who'd have thunk it? Who'd have thunk Ringo? Now, if Ringo got up there and tried to do his own stuff, it'd be a sleep fest.
Yeah,
you know?
Thank you for all
night, because you can't sustain that all night. He's known that. He knows show business.
Smart.
And that's the kind of guy Ringo is. He's a smart guy. Mm. He knows how to entertain. You know, this sounds like one of the more entertaining and really, to me, a much better concept than when you're bringing out REO Speedwagon and Styx. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Earth, Wind, and Fire in Chicago. You know, they always tour together.
Bring the pieces together, put out a great sound, and recreate the songs. You don't have to recreate the bands in their entirety. You recreate the songs in a masterful way, and it's a formula that I'd love to see, and I hope to see more artists do it.
I thought of you because when we stumbled into that All-Star show at the Super Bowl, that Northwest Air All-Star show, and I think that was just a one-off.
You remember the song they were playing when we walked through the doors?
It was Foreigner, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Oh, God. Is it Feels Like the First Time?
Yes, it is. You remember.
Yeah.
That was a moment.
It was
and
great.
And then, you know, who'd have thunk that we would be playing on that stage, later on.
That's
which
true.
We ended up
That's
doing
very
with our
true.
First New Orleans live show. It was great.
It was an amazing show, and then they encored. They all came out, and they sang Give Peace a Chance, and it was just a lovely, lovely evening. I don't know why I waited so long to see Ringo. I think in the back of my head, I was worried that it might be disappointing, and you don't want that. And when in fact it made it 20 times better. So if he comes to your town,
I'm going to find out where he's coming. I mean, that's awesome. I love that.
Here's the most amazing Beatles fact that I can give you of the day, though. Maddie hates the Beatles.
Maddie, what did you think of that? I mean, I'm very curious because I am, you know, that I'm not, if I'm 5 minutes into that and I think Rob's providing us with a sleep fest. I did not know what was coming with that. I thought he was going to talk about his concert. I didn't know that he was going to spend the bulk of the show talking about it, but I was there. What were your feelings on that, the way that was presented?
The variety of it did sound amazing. That sounds like a show that I would even be a part of and enjoy. So I didn't,
but you would get
I didn't
beer
hate
when,
the recap.
Thank you for not hating the recap, Maddie. Would you get a beer when Ringo was singing, or what would happen?
I would get a beer for every song, but that doesn't matter when you're playing. I don't understand. Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara Radio Entertainment.